The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. While he was in Jerusalem for the feast of Passover, many began to believe in his name when they saw the signs he was doing. But Jesus would not trust himself to them because he knew them all and did not need anyone to testify about human nature. He himself understood it well. The Gospel of the Lord. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Well, construction indeed had been going on already for 46 years on the temple of King Herod. These stones were massive. Some of them, if you were walking alongside them, would be taller than you. This was Herod's greatest building project, and he put his stamp on each of these stones. You can still recognize them today, some of them 6 feet high and 8 feet wide. You can tell that they were from Herod's time because he carved a smooth border on the face of these massive stones. If you've been to the western wall of the temple, you can see clearly how unlikely it is that even one of these could be wrestled into place in 3 days. Well, people only hear what they want to hear. They chose to take Jesus' words literally and decided it was nonsense. They did not want to look deeper. In the second reading, St. Paul says to the people of Corinth, "Jews demand signs, Greeks look for wisdom. But these signs and wisdoms can be open to subjective interpretation, can they not? In fact, faced with the relativism and egoism of today, such things may never be decided upon. It is the tyranny of self. But Paul says, look and see, Jesus crucified. Here is reality. Some might see him as a stumbling block, others as foolishness, but this nonetheless is reality. He stands before you. You choose whether or not to receive what is true power and true wisdom in the form of human flesh." This is why, if you think about it, the only way we could have ever been won over, even if only some of us, would be if this mystery became flesh and blood before us. Those who are listening to Jesus in the temple construction zone chose to receive Jesus' meaning or else dismiss him as a simpleton. How many times have you, feeling misunderstood, had that feeling, "If people would just bother to get to know me, they wouldn't jump to such judgmental conclusions"? So here we come to the reality of today. We behold each other, races behold each other, nations behold each other, already through the filter of whom we have decided we are and who they are. It could be the farthest thing from the truth. It often is, and that is the problem. When we do this, we never come to know the truth of who they are or even of whom we are. When we don't know who we are and operate out of a vacuum of truth, outrageous theories suddenly become possible. Hasn't this been the case throughout the world, between religions and in all generations? We have left legacies of destruction, division, hate, and dehumanization for centuries. You might believe that we don't have these deep societal problems today. Many deny it. Here is a simple test. If we even have the word minority in our vocabulary, we haven't discovered the fraternal truth and fraternal duty we have toward each other as equals in God's eyes. Some of the greatest benefits of the several dialogues I have been involved in with Methodists and Lutherans, with Buddhists, Hindus, and Native Americans is the necessary discovery that I have inherited directly or indirectly a perspective which limits my getting to know others, at least at first. We try to gather as much knowledge as we can before we enter into an encounter with another person. You have to do your homework. In every case, I have discovered that this perspective has been wrong. I was not formed with the complete truth because I had not yet entered dialogue with them. It has involved some sort of prejudice or prejudging that I may not have even intended. This is alive and well right here and everywhere where people from other cultures or countries are concerned. It is often easier to ignore or deny their existence and needs than to look deeper. One very painful memory of mine was a dialogue I participated in at St. Mark's in Vienna, maybe 6 years ago. I was on the stage with an imam and a rabbi, and we were discussing how each of our religions seek peace. When it came my turn to speak, I stood up, and there was a bunch of Catholic men in the back rows of the auditorium who stood up and started shouting, "Your diocese is ashamed of you. This is the work of the devil." Perhaps they're saying the same thing about Pope Francis in Iraq today. To speak about seeking peace, imagine the impression left on the memory of the imam and the rabbi. Jesus stands before us today and gives us the simple words, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." This temple, obviously, knowing what we know now, is his own body. But it is not just his body if we unite ourselves to him. He will take all our chaos and misunderstanding, our inhumanity and division, and if we turn it over to him, he will transform it and us into glory. His words are so intimate for those who really listen. He is real healing love. He is the only way.